Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for our message this morning is the Gospel reading from John chapter 8. I'd like to highlight just two small sections as we begin. First of all, from verse 49, where Jesus answers the Jews, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." And then the second part of verse 54, where Jesus continues, "It is my Father who glorifies me." This is our text. So after hearing that, friends, I have a simple, quick answer, a question to ask you first. How many fathers do you have? Well, the obvious instinctive answer for all of us is one, of course, our biological father. He's the one that we honor today on Father's Day. He's the one that we call if we aren't able to be with him in person today. The one that we might give a gift to. The one that we at least say, "Happy Father's Day," hopefully with a hug today. And then that's about as far as Father's Day goes. But if that's the extent of our understanding of fatherhood, then why? Why do we talk about those who are our grandfathers or our great-grandfathers or our stepfathers? We're still using the term father there. And why do we talk about the city fathers, which is a common reference to a city's council or their leadership? Why do we use the term father when we say that, for example, Galileo was the father of modern science? Or René Descartes, the one who said, "I think, therefore I am," was the father of philosophy? Or Carl Benz from Mercedes-Benz was the father of modern transportation because, well, he invented the practical automobile. Why do we do that? In our gospel reading today, Jesus challenged the entire concept of fatherhood in the minds of the Jewish religious leaders. You see, the exchange that I read earlier that begins with John 8, verse 48, is a conversation that has already been going on for a while between Jesus and the Jews. Some of them did actually believe in Jesus. And to those believing Jews, Jesus points to the only dependable, the only unchanging source of truth, God's holy word, the Bible. Right, guys? Inerrant, right? I heard you say that last week. Okay. I'm going to be talking with them a little bit so you all kind of understand that, okay? Now, he said in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you abide," that is, "live in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, that really upset the Jews, who believed that Jesus was nothing more than a common man, because they based their understanding of freedom on their bloodline back to Abraham. He's the one that they said was the father of their faith. They said in verse 33, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone." It's interesting, they were totally ignoring the fact that their ancestors had been slaves in Egypt to Pharaoh and slaves in Babylon to King Nebuchadnezzar. And they focused on Abraham instead of Yahweh God for their salvation, something that Abraham would have absolutely abhorred. Well, that's when Jesus totally rocked their understanding and uncovered their true sinful inclinations. In verses 37 and 38, he said, quote, "I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because of my words, which find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." there. Jesus calls those guys out. He's saying point blank, you and I don't have the same Father, the same God. And how come? Because it all comes down to this. Who are you honoring with your words and your actions? Who are you actually following? Who are you putting first in your life? Isaiah, Jared, Jeffrey, you understand this now that you have studied the Ten Commandments, right? I mean, the first commandment says what? They didn't hear you. You shall have no other gods. I heard you. And that means whatever and whoever you honor or follow above everything else, that's your God. So then, when the fourth commandment says, honor your father and mother, does that mean that we are to honor our parents and earthly authorities before God? No! You can go like this instead of barely kind of questioning it. No, it's obvious, right? No, no human being ever undoes the first commandment. So today on Trinity Sunday, we are highlighting the scriptural truth that the one true God has revealed himself to us as a three-in-one God. And the first person in the triune God is God the Father. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6, for us, there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Those unbelieving Jews, they were not willing to acknowledge the triune God. They refused to see Jesus as the promised Son of the Father in the flesh. They rooted their entire belief, like I said, their entire salvation in their lineage to Abraham. To them, he was the father of their faith. But Jeffrey and Jared and Isaiah, you and I know from the Bible that Abraham is not how we are saved, right? In fact, how is it that you and I are saved? You know this. By grace through faith in Jesus Christ and not by our works, right? So, Jesus had to set these people straight. Not to be mean, but because he was truly concerned about their salvation. And so he told them this in John chapter 8, verses 42 to 44. He told them who their real father is. He said, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. And here it is. You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar, the father of lies. Man, that's pretty intense, isn't it? Do you think Jesus takes things a little too far when he tells them that just because they don't believe in and follow him, that they are following the devil now? Well, this is Jesus, the one that tells us in Luke 11, verse 23, whoever is not with me is against me. So, Jesus declares here the sad truth about fatherhood. The truth, sadly, that still applies to many people that we even still know today. And what is that truth? There's two parts. First, those who honor or follow their earthly fathers or their own heroes like Abraham or any other earthly desire before God the Father, they are, bottom line, honoring their real father, the devil. And number two, those who believe that they are the ones who determine what is true, that they are the ones who determine what is right, what should dictate their life's priorities instead of the triune God's holy word and scripture, they are also honoring the devil and his lies, which are, of course, the world's lies, which are, of course, the lives of our own sinful nature. That means, according to Jesus, not according to me, not according to the church or anyone else, according to Jesus, there's only two options for spiritual fathers: the devil or God the Father. And that's why Isaiah, Jared, and Jeffrey, you are making such important vows today. You are confirming before the triune God and this, your family of faith, who it is that you honor as your father first. In the verse just before our gospel reading, Jesus told the Jews, "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." And so in verse 48, as you can imagine, that hacked off the Jews. And so the Jews told Jesus, "You have a demon." You see, they're resenting the calling names. Well, today, you three confirmands are publicly, in front of these people here, are publicly taking your faith to a new level of commitment. And just know that some people might say that you're crazy to make the vows that you're making today. Some might even look at those promises that you're making and say that you are now religious fanatics or Jesus freaks. In fact, the majority of the world today believes that you can actually be too extreme in your faith. They put us committed Christians down by saying that we are obsessed with Jesus and his word, as if that's a bad thing. And yet, Jeffrey, isn't that exactly what the verse that you chose for your confirmation verse says? Psalm 37, verse 5. "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act." Some people, just like the Jews before Jesus, will say that committing your way to the Lord, as you are doing today, that means that actually you should be committed to a mental ward or something like that. It's no different than the Jews who said that Jesus had a demon. You see, the real problem, though, is not with you or me when we commit our lives to our Heavenly Father first. It is with those unbelievers who just can't let go of trying to be their own God and let the Bible and God's Word be what determines the truth, what determines all that is important in life. In verse 51, Jesus says that it's really quite simple. He starts off saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you." Now, when Jesus starts off saying that, it's as if he is saying, "Hey, wake up! Pay attention. This is very important, what I am about to say to you. It must be understood as the highest priority in your life and faith." So, what does Jesus say? "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Man, that's awesome. How can anyone hear that promise from Jesus and still say that the Bible, that Bible study, that learning about God's Word is not important or significant? But the Jews, they couldn't go above and beyond their own simple, sin-contaminated and selfish way of thinking. They couldn't let go of their focus on the idol that they had created out of Abraham and stop following their father of lies, the devil. And so they think that they have now come up with such a great comeback to Jesus in verse 53 when they say, "Are you greater than our father Abraham who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus. Man, talk about a great setup. They just opened the door wide for Jesus to step right through and kick everything into turbo drive. And that's exactly what Jesus does by pointing them directly to the one who must be their focus, your focus, and everyone else's focus. In verses 54 and 55, Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is your God, he is our God, but you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word." See, right there, Jesus sets the example for all of us. Even though he is 100% God with the Father, he focuses his honor and his glory upon God the Father. He's telling the Jews and every one of us here in this room today that God the Father must be the one that we honor first in all things, because he is God. And anyone who is not willing to do that, Jesus says that they are, quote, a liar, like the Jews. Now, how were they lying? Because they said that they believed in God, but they refused to believe in and live by God's word. They refused to honor his commands and believe his prophecies that all pointed to Jesus as God's Son. It's there in God's word that Jesus promised, as he did Jared in the verse that you chose for your confirmation verse, Matthew 28, verse 20, where Jesus said, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." You will never be alone, never without your God. He is always, always with you. And when things get tough, when people are teasing you, or life sends you something that might tempt you to give up or turn away from your faith, well, then Isaiah, the verse that you chose as your confirmation verse in Philippians 4, verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Jared and Jeff and Isaiah. A while back, your great-grandmother, Arlene Jenkins, brought me this little book here that belonged to a relative of your great-great-grandmother, her mother. And that relative's name is Myrtle Josephine Olson. It's written right here in the front. The little book is called, get to the title page, the little book is called Be Thou My Guide, a handbook of advice and comfort for young Lutherans newly confirmed. It was printed in 1910. And it was given to your relative, according to the writing in the front part, it was given to her in 1917, over 100 years ago. So let me close with a short quote from this little book. In fact, I want you, and Isaiah as well, to consider this as a bit of encouragement directly from your ancestors. It says, take the time as you take time to read the newspapers or a good book. Now, you guys all read newspapers, right? Well, think of it, okay, today it's a different age, it's been 100 years, so think of the time that you take looking at something on your phone, YouTube or something like that. The book says, "Do not say that you are too young or ignorant to read the Bible. Know that the word of God was written also for children. For the Apostle John writes expressly in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 13. That's 1 John 2:13. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Yes, he says that he writes just for this purpose to the young men, that they might be strong and the word of God abide in them, that they might overcome the devil. And if you tell me that you do not like to read the Bible, then you are condemned by the third commandment, which tells you that out of filial, that's out of devoted fear and love to God, you ought to gladly hear his word and learn it. Therefore, be diligent also in hearing the word of God preached at your church. Never stay away from public worship except for the most urgent reasons. And when you come to the house of God, be ready to hear, so that you may not hear his saving word in vain. Never forget that the devil is present at every service in church. Ooh, that's kind of daunting. And cunningly seeks to steal the word out of your heart, that you may not believe it and be saved. Be diligent, too, in going to the Lord's Supper, and come worthily. When you feel no desire to partake of the Lord's Supper, then is just the time for you to go, for then you need it most. For then the enemy, the devil, is trying to make you careless and secure and to bring about your fall from grace. That is the most cunning trick the devil uses to rob young Christians of their faith, by making them careless and indifferent towards the word of their Savior. Just as soon as he separates them from the word of Christ, he has also separated them from Christ himself. Then they have lost all power to resist his temptations and fall an easy victim to his destructive wiles. Man. Right there, this, Isaiah and Jared and Jeffrey, and all of us as God's children, this is exactly what Jesus was trying to warn the Jews and you and me against. This is why it is so important that we understand who our true Father is, the one to whom we pray, our Father who art in heaven. So honor him and his holy word today as you confirm your faith in him, as you make your promises to remain faithful to him for the rest of your life. And know that he will never leave you, because he has chosen you. He has redeemed you in the blood of his Son Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds, and keep you in our Lord Jesus, today and forever. Amen.